Hallelujah. We're really glad you're here. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. Now look at them again and say, I know you're not all here, but I thank God for what is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get my Bible here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Got your Bibles? Bibles? God's got a word for you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was just talking about the teens, not the juniors. Amen? Yeah, juniors are going to their class. Praise God. All right. I don't have a long word for you, but I got a good word for you from God. Amen. God seems to be getting them shorter and shorter, but better and better. Glory to God. Amen. Luke, the 10th chapter, if you'll turn there real quick. See, I tell people I'm not going to be like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh in Egypt? And I don't want to be like him, that he wouldn't let the people go. Amen. You'll get that about 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. Amen. The others won't get up till about 2 o'clock. Amen. I know you're not impressed with that, and I understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, or oh my, one of the two. That's right, brother. Sometimes it's amen, and sometimes it's oh my. I preached a message one time, OMG. It's on video. Amen. I mean, it's on CD. Yeah. OMG. Some people want to get on your case, but how many know OMG is in the Word of God? Oh my God, David did an OMG a whole lot of times. Yeah. Praise God. All right, one more time. You're still a little too stiff. Look at somebody next to you and say, oh, my God. Amen, 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 amen. All right, Luke, the 10th chapter, 25th verse. When you've got it, would you stand with me in honor of the author of this book? The Word of God is a powerful thing. It made the devil leave. I say, when you never need to get the devil to move, come on. Better move, devil. Better get away from me. Better leave my family. You better leave my life. The Word of God will make him move. Jesus said it is written 3 times. And then it says the devil left him. Whew, my God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever had the devil leave you? Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, my God. I feel the power of God right now. Devil, we serve notice on you right now. Get out of here. You have no business here with any business with anybody here this morning. Anybody that's not here this morning. We command just to be a cloud of glory to come on. Amen. All of the congregation, all of the people right now, the cloud of your glory and your blessing in Jesus' name. We command every dark cloud. We command every dark image, every dark spirit. Go in the name of Jesus. Leave and don't come back. Thank you, Lord. My God, I felt something release right there. I mean, sometimes you got to talk to the devil. He's talking to you. He's telling you what you're not going to do. You need to tell him, no, you're a liar. I'm going to do everything that God calls me to do. I'm going to be everything God called me to be. I'm going to go everywhere God called me to go in the name of Jesus. I tell you, I find myself more and more just telling him, stop that, devil. Get out of here. Like a cur dog, like a pig all in mud come in your front living room. Who wouldn't tell that pig, you better get out of here. You don't say, now you know you shouldn't be in here. Please leave. Please leave. I'll get that pig by his little squirrely tail. Pull that little sucker right out of there. Hallelujah. No pigs in the parlor. I said no pigs in the parlor. I don't mind eating a little pig, but I don't want him in my parlor. Amen. I don't want him living where I live. He's got his place. I got mine. Thank you, Lord. Luke, the 10th chapter. Oh, I feel the presence of God again. I may know that the preaching that we do, the Lord says, is not just in word, but it's in power. I said it's not just in word, it's in power. And I call upon the power of the Holy Ghost to come and to move, amen, by His Spirit to do things that you may have never thought could ever happen in your life. You never thought would happen even coming in here. You hoped maybe you didn't even have a hope. But I want to tell you, the power of God is coming to you right now. And it's coming even to you through weak vessels, through a weak vessel. But when I'm weak, He's strong. Hallelujah. I don't come to you with fancy words and enticing words, Paul said, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the power of God. God has given us power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm us, Jesus said. And so we take that power over all the power. I don't need all power. I've got a God who's all powerful. I just need the power He gives me over all the power of the devil. And when something's hurting me, I declare to Him, nothing shall by any means harm me or hurt me. Now get out of here. It's time for you to leave, Mr. Devil. It's time for the devil to leave in some areas this morning. Are you hearing me, church? It's time for you to tell him to go. You put up with his mess long enough. It's time for your miracle and the mess God wants to take care of. In Jesus' name, we serve notice on the devil. You're not welcome. We know that we have an adversary, but we know we have the victory. And we will not be oppressed. Say, I will not be oppressed. I will not be sick. I will not be lame. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Declare it. Decree it. There's such power in your mouth, in your words. Don't just stand there and let him beat you up and beat you down. Gah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus beat him up, tore him up, and you just take the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Ooh, there's power in that name right now. Jesus. I declare the name of Jesus, Son of God, Son of David. In the name of Jesus, every demon has to leave. Yeah, feel the power of God. Serve notice on your devil. You're not welcome in our homes. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome in our lives. We're tired of your mess, and we're ready for our miracle. I said we're ready for our miracle. How many came ready for your miracle today? Well, that's what we're doing here. We're standing before a miracle-working God. We didn't come just to have a nice little preacher give us a nice little sermonette while he smokes his cigarette. Amen. I don't smoke, but if I did, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God we're going to a wedding, not a funeral. I've been in a lot of churches. They're going to funerals. They look dead, act dead. Oh, I better leave that alone, my God. Verse 25. Somebody say, when's he going to read the scripture? My God. I'm reading Living Bible. If you got a dead Bible, change it, get a living one. Amen. I'm sorry, Living Bible Translation. You may have the King James, follow along with me. Verse 25, chapter 10, St. Luke, the physician that God called. One day, somebody say one day, yeah, an expert on Moses' laws came to test Jesus, orthodoxy, by asking him this question: Teacher, what does a man need to do to live forever in heaven? Or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? And Jesus replied, verse 26, he answers a question with a question. Doesn't that drive you crazy? Jesus replied, what does Moses' law say about it? In other words, he's saying, what does the word say? What does the Bible say? Verse 27, he replied, it says that you must love the Lord your God. Some of them say must love. Yeah, this is a must love this morning. This is not a love if you want. Love it if you care to. Love if you like to. This is a must love. The Bible says it's a must. Exodus says it first, must love. We must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. How much of your heart? And with all your soul, that's your emotions, your mind, your will, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, what you've got left, what you haven't blown, what hasn't been blown for you. And you must love your neighbor just as much as yourself. Boy, I feel a word in the house. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you shall live. But, I may know there's too many buts, but the man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people. Come on now. I may know we all got some justifiers. I love you, but not you. You ever hear that commercial on TV, on the radio? It's supposed to be the winning ticket. Is it? Not you. Not you. No, not you. And so he asked, so the man says, the man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people, so he asked, which neighbors? Which one? Look at somebody next to you and say, which one? Yeah. Now don't look at him, just say, not you. Amen. And then Jesus replied in verse 30 with an illustration of the Good Samaritan. Most of you know that story. That's not where we're going this morning. But he proved, he showed what that kind of love was. Amen. He says, who is my neighbor? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you sent your word and healed us, you said, everyone. We thank you that as the word's going forth and has been going forth, even in worship and praise and exhortation, that we are being healed while we sit and stand here. I want to thank you for the healer, Jehovah Rapha, who is the Lord who heals us. Lord, sometimes you have to sneak up on us to bless us, chase us down. I thank you that you never give up on us. And Lord, we praise you for such a great love as this. Come and heal us now. I feel there's healing in the house this morning. I feel the healer is here. And he's healing deep wounds, deep hurts, deep bruises, deep blows. Father, I thank you. Not only did you send your word and heal us, but you delivered us. You're a delivering God as well as a healing God. Lord, I thank you for not leaving us where we're at. I thank you for delivering us from evil and every evil way. I ask it, I thank you for it ahead of time. We're going to give you all the glory for it, whatever you do in this service. We know it will be you doing it, not a man, not anything I say or don't say, but it's what your spirit would say. I thank you for what you're doing with flesh, with just a weak vessel. Let your strength be made perfect right now. I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and I declare that only you can touch the heart. So I ask you now to touch the hearts of these waiting to hear a word that can heal us, help us, deliver us. I thank you for it now. Don't wait, Lord. It may be too late. We need it now. I thank you for a now blessing, a now word from God that will bring what we need now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you as you sit in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk fast, so you're going to have to listen fast. Now, if you listen slow, you're going to be here a while. Last Sunday, I shared God's three words to me some weeks ago. If you were here, you'll remember them. I'll just recap for a moment. God's three words to me was, believe in yourself. And I thought it was kind of strange because I've always been taught to believe in God, and that is true. But believe in God and believe in yourself. We saw that in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. Believe in God and His Son Jesus, and believe in yourself. We saw owning your dream means having your belief in yourself outweigh your fears. Are you with me? And that you and I will never embrace our God-given destiny until we first believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And where does that belief come from? We saw that it comes from the Word of God, the Bible. Philippians 2:3 nailed it for us, which says that belief comes from knowing that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Amen. Giving us the power and the desire. I thank God He just doesn't say do it. He gives you the desire to do it and the power to do it. When you set your will to say, I will, God says, all right, I'll give you the power to do and to be what I've called you to be. Amen. We saw that. And we saw that God is working in us, giving us that desire, that power to do what pleases. And then we also saw that King James said, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Somebody say, His good pleasure. Not others' good pleasure, His good pleasure. And that's where we have some of the problem. We saw that not everybody is going to be pleased with that, and that not all are going to be seeking His good pleasure, but their own good pleasure, and you for their pleasure. Anybody listening? It's only according to the pleasure of His good will, says Ephesians 1:5. It's not their will be done or my will be done, but thy will be done on earth, where I live, where you live, as it is in heaven. Can you say amen? His will be done, not your will, not my will. That's the problem. We get in trouble with my will. Yeah. Okay, I know you don't want to talk about it right now. And finally, somebody say finally. See, when Paul was at the end, he said, finally, we're not quite there, but be encouraged. Finally, we saw what keeps us from believing in ourselves. A lot of people don't believe in themselves. You can tell it by their life. And there's a reason for that, because of what is the one opposition we saw, the one thing God showed me, why we don't believe in that? The opposition. Has anybody had any opposition? What a stupid question. Amen. Don't call me stupid, though. Because, see, we can't fix stupid. I can fix ignorance. Means I don't know. But stupid, well, we'll leave that alone. The opposition. Somebody say the opposition. But then we also saw that our biggest opposition represents our biggest opportunity. Somebody shout opportunity. Yeah. That God hides opportunity in opposition. He'll take the mess. And He can make a miracle out of it. Take your loss and bring a gain. Amen. And that God will always hide an opportunity in your opposition. Am I talking to any opposed people? And that opposition is not the end of your story. That you may be going through difficulty. You may be stressed out about a particular situation. But instead of focusing on the problem, worrying, being afraid, doubting yourself, doubting God, to start looking for the potential God and opportunity God is placing before you. The greater the opposition, the greater the opportunity. This is an opportunity walk. The problem is we just have not seen the opportunity yet. All we are dealing with and have dealt with most of our lives is the opposition. And it has been fierce. And it has been formidable. And it has been meant to destroy us and to keep us from any and every opportunity. Amen. I mean, I've had an opportunity, but the opposition came in and blew the opportunity out. Come on. We've been there. And to get that message in entirety, you can get the CD. Believe in yourself, God does, at the end of the service. And then we ended with look for a new thing, for the new thing. Somebody say, look for the new thing. Look for new direction. And look for new opportunity. Look for new, the new thing. Look for new direction. Look for new opportunity. Look at somebody next to you and tell everybody around you, I'm looking. I'm looking. I'm looking. Some of you ain't looking. I'm looking. Amen. Let's try that one more time. Some of you are just as disobedient as the day you were born and cried when they slapped you on the bottom. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm looking. Look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them. They don't have rabies. I'm looking. They don't have leprosy. I'm looking. I'm looking. Some of you are having to say that by faith. I'm looking for the new direction. I'm looking for the new thing. I'm looking for the new opportunity. Glory to God. I'm looking for it. If you don't look for it, you'll never see it. If you focus only on the problem, you'll just be problem-orientated all your life. I want you to stay with me now just for a few moments now as I share with you the second thing I heard God say to me in my spirit this last week. How many know your spirit is where God speaks to all of us? Spirit, soul, and body. We're three parts, just like God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And he said these words to me. He said, love yourself. Told me three words in the other one, believe in yourself. Now it's back down to two words. Love yourself. The Bible says, we're reading our text today here in Luke 10:27. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the key to loving others, is to love yourself. And the key to loving yourself is to love who? God first. You will only love yourself and love others in proportion to your love for God. Amen. And if you got a problem loving others and loving yourself, the real problem is that we're not hooked up right with the lover. Capital L. It's not your boyfriend. It's not your fiance. It's not your pastor. It's not your husband, not your wife, not your family, not your ministry, not your job, not your TV, not your dog, your cat, or your hamster. But love God first. And that is the key to loving yourself and others. We give attention to whatever we love the most. Huh? Let me say it again. We give attention to what we love the most. No attention, little attention, little love. Amen. Try that on your wife. God wants to be first in our lives. Verse 27 of our text says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. God first. Everybody and everything else second. What don't we get about that? I said, what don't we get about that? What doesn't the church get about that? Love God first. Love God first. Seek God first and he'll add it all to you. But almost every church in America, and I'm sure every church, including this one, when you get right down to it, you can see where we're not loving God first. We're loving ourselves first. We don't prefer God. We prefer us. We don't prefer one another. We prefer us. It's what I want. It's my will be done. It's my kingdom. And guess who's sitting on your kingdom? King me. How's that working for you? Not very good. Love God first. Not all those other things. The problem is we're loving everything else second. Loving God first, loving God second, third, fourth, and on down the line after whoever and whatever. Love God first, and then you can love yourself and love others. Am I doing all right? Okay. Not going to throw me out yet? Okay. Well, hang on. It gets worse. I mean, it gets better. We need a healthy respect for ourselves and God. I said we need a healthy respect for ourselves, not an unhealthy respect, and for God, if we want to enjoy our relationship with other people. Huh? We got to have a healthy respect for ourselves if we're going to enjoy anything with anybody else and even ourselves. We can't diss God and have that healthy respect for ourselves or others. I mean, no, you can't keep dissing God. Come on. That's an old term we used to use some places we don't want to talk about. Isn't that right, Brother Raymond? Disking God. Everybody's concerned about disking your mother and disking your daddy. How about disking God? How about let's be concerned about disking God? Yeah, it's one thing to disrespect my mother, disrespect my brother, disrespect me. But I tell you, it's a worse thing. It's a bigger thing to disrespect God. And how do we do that? By putting ourselves first. Shall I go on? No. No, see, he said it already. No. He's had enough. We can't diss God if we don't have a balance. Somebody say balanced. A balanced love for ourselves. Because we're out of alignment with God's will, then it's difficult to love others and ourselves. And what happens in that case, you will grow to hate yourself. I may know a lot of people down deep really don't like themselves. And you know how I know that? Because they don't like you. Come on. When you don't like you, you ain't going to like anybody else. I told you it got better. I know life is no fun if we can't enjoy other people. Huh? Because they're everywhere we go. God is to be enjoyed first. Are you enjoying God? Come on. Are you really enjoying God? God is to be enjoyed. Whew. Then you can enjoy yourself and others. Enjoy God first. And granted, sometimes it's difficult to get along with people. Amen. You missed a good place to say amen there. Because they seem so different from us. But it's our differences that make us need one another. God designed us to need him and to need each other's friendships and talents. You can't say, I don't need you. I don't have need of you. You'll find that doesn't work. You won't enjoy your day until you learn to accept and enjoy yourself. You know why? Because you got to eat with yourself. You got to sleep with yourself. And you got to be with yourself all day. And until you're happy with who you are and where you are in life, you will never learn to love others or get to where you want to be. And don't get down on yourself about everything you didn't do right yesterday. Today is a new day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're letting yesterday ruin your today. You got to learn to love your life right now, right where you are right now. Let me say, you've got to learn to love your life right where you are right now. And if you're not, I can tell you, you can directly point it back, you're not enjoying God. And if you're not enjoying God, how much it just about serves knows, he's not probably enjoying you very much either. Because it takes two to enjoy one another. Come on. Until you're happy where you're at, you will never learn to love others or get where you want to be. And don't get down. Amen. God is with you. Hallelujah. I will learn, yeah, today is a new day, and learn to love your life right now. Each day is a gift from God. I said each day is a gift from God. Wow. Thank God every day for the gift of a new day. Say with me, would you? I am grateful to be a child of God, redeemed and made righteous in his eyes. I am going to enjoy myself all day long. Tell somebody or tell yourself, I am going to enjoy myself all day long. Some of you haven't enjoyed yourself in days. Some of you don't like yourself. Some of you don't like me. Well, maybe after today. Amen. I am going to enjoy myself. Can I say this? To hell with the devil. To double H hockey sticks with the devil. Amen. I am going to enjoy myself. Whether you enjoy me or not. Whether you like me or not. Whether you're pleased with me or not. Long as God is pleased with me, I can handle your displeasure. Because there is something in us that wants to please everybody. Oh, I have been there. Most of my life was trying to please everybody. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, some of you, if not all of you. How many have found out you can't hardly please anybody? The more you try to please them, the more. Good Lord. So I just learned to please God. And I want to be pleasing to everybody. I don't want to be an ogre, amen? What's that guy in that movie? Shrek. I don't want to be Shrek, come on. And you don't want to be Fiona, amen? Oh, you thought you were going to leave Shrek out here, hanging out here, huh? Yeah. No, no, no. All right. I'm grateful to be a child of God. I'm grateful my sins are forgiven. I'm grateful I'm on my way to heaven. I'm grateful that if I don't see another day, I know where I'm going. I'm grateful for what God is doing right now. I'm grateful that I still have a sound mind in the midst of the problems and tests and trials and challenges and lack of whatever, this or that. I can still have a God I can believe in, a trust in. God gave me a verse. He said, my loving kindness and my truth will preserve thee continually. I needed that verse at that moment because things were decaying. I needed some preservation. Come on. And boy, it just stuck in my spirit. God is preserving me. His loving kindness and his truth is preserving me in spite of all the devil's throwing at me, in spite of what's not happening, in spite of what has happened, in spite of what may happen. His loving kindness and truth is preserving me. Hallelujah. And it's preserving you. Yeah. Praise God. Learn to love yourself. Redeemed. Made righteous. I want to ask you a question. Can I ask you one question? Quickly. Are you lovable? Squeeze yourself. Say, you lovable thing. You, yes. You so lovable. You gooby-doo-doo-doo-doo. You so, you're lovable. Yeah. Yeah. You may have thought yes and no. At times I am and at times I'm not. It's probably true for all of us. Or you may have immediately thought, no, I'm not. Don't get near me. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. I hate everybody. I hate you. I hate God. I hate myself. You ever talk? Oh, I was there once. Yeah. I would have responded the same way before I came to understand the true nature of God's love and his reason for loving me. The question most have is, how can God love me or love us as imperfect as us is? As imperfect as I are. I wrote that down. It was supposed to be I am, but Lord wanted me to make sure I understood. Yeah, you ain't perfect. So how can God love me as imperfect as I am? He loves you because he wants to. I said he loves you because he wants to. He loves you because it pleases him. God loves you because it is his nature. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And if it were otherwise, he wouldn't be who he is. Amen. God may not always love everything you do, but he does love you. We may not love what everybody does, but we can love them anyway. Amen. I'm not going to have you tell the man next to you, I don't love everything you do, but I love you. Somebody just dying to say that. But I don't want to cause any problems because I don't have time for marital counseling right now. Amen. God shows clearly. He shows us clearly that he proves his own love for us. That he says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. His love is unconditional. It is based on him, not you, not me. Most people can believe God loves them if they think they deserve it. Stay with me. Stay with me. Problems arise when you feel you don't deserve God's love, and yet you desperately need it. Huh? God's love for you is perfect. Again, it's unconditional. I found that out almost 40 years ago, and it transformed my life. I lived all my life with conditional love. In the church, as well as out of the church. All conditional, but his is unconditional. There's no he loves me, he loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. They love me not. God's love is perfect and unconditional. Somebody needs to be reminded of that today. I came to tell somebody his love is perfect for you, and it's unconditional. It's not based on anything you've done or anything you will do. It's based on what he has done. And who he is. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Because we get on a performance basis. Performance is important, but his love is even greater. Hallelujah. When you fail, he keeps loving you. Sin separated you from God, but he loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. So he could lavish his great love upon you. I love that word, lavish. Ooh. I looked it up, love that word. It says, he lavishly, abundantly, profusely, generously, exceedingly plentifully, prolifically, liberally, unsparingly. What a God we serve. Romans 8:32 says, He, God, that spared not his own son, Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, Jesus, freely, say freely, give us all things. My God, unsparingly, he gave his own son. Have no doubt he wants to give you all things. I said, have no doubt he wants to give you all things. He gave you his son, his only son. Settle it in your mind. He loves you. He wants you to have all things that you have need of, unsparingly, extravagantly, shower upon you, heap upon you, all things. Whew, how many got a capacity to receive more than what you have? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God, you're so good. Lord, we love you and praise you. I said, we bless you, Lord. Yeah. If you can believe that God, who is so perfect, loves you that much, then you can believe you are worth loving. I said, you can believe you're worth loving. Some people believe they're not worth loving because of the way they've been treated. Come on. When that happens, you can accept yourself in a new way that will be life-changing. You're special. You have worth and value. Believe it, receive it, and be all you can be in Christ. God's kind of love is always unconditional and always available. I said, it's always available. He extends his love towards you, and he wants you to receive it and be blessed. Amen. He's extending it to you today, anew and afresh. He wants you to receive it and be blessed. And then he wants you to give it away to others and not hold back. Don't miss that. I said, don't miss that. Once he gives it to you, don't sit on it. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's the way the world does. This is supposed to be a free flow. It comes in, it goes out. What's this Dead Sea stuff? We get it on, we don't give any? Come on. That won't work. I said, that won't work. There's a secular popular song that came to me as I was preparing the message God was giving to me, and some years ago, I forget, I don't know who it was, maybe you know who it was that sang it, but the song went, what the world needs now is love. I think it was Sweet Love. That's the only thing that there's just, what, a little love? Too little love. Oh, you know the song. Yeah. What the world needs now, oh my God. It's love, sweet love. Well, what the world needs now is real love. You had some of that sweet love and then it got unsweetened. Huh? But you need real love. I said we need real love. I've discovered that lonely, hurting people simply want to be loved and understood. If you're in need of real love, somebody say real love. And who isn't? Receive it from God right now. I said receive it right now from God. And then let it. You've got to let it flow through you to bless others. Yeah. I said, you got to let it flow through you to bless others. It gets hung up there sometimes. And the message is love yourself because God does. And then you can love your neighbor. And then you can love yourself. God, help us to love ourselves. But first, help us to love God. We won't have a problem loving ourselves when we get this God thing right. Are you with me, church? Woo. Come on, stand with me. Hallelujah. Is it getting hot or what? How many are glad you're going to heaven? The hotter it gets. Amen. You are going to heaven, aren't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love yourself. God does. You've been treated badly? That happens. I feel the love of God in here right now. It was love that lifted me, unconditional love, that took me out of a hell that almost enveloped me. Unconditional love took me out of that hell and changed my life completely. The church's conditional love never did it. You do this, you fit in, you're part of the in crowd. Well, I'm sorry if I'm not part of your in crowd. I didn't come out of that crowd to come into your little gang. I come out of that gang, come in your gang, your church gang. Amen. He didn't set me free for to be bound up by what you think in your pleasure. I want to be pleasing, but I want God to be pleased. That's my focus. If he's pleased, I can handle your displeasure. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Matter of fact, we're going to thank you right now. Dwayne, come on up here a second real quick. I don't want to hold the people because it's getting cooler and cooler. God's unconditional love. You know something about that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Just got married, what, Sunday before last?
Yes.
My God. And almost was made a widow of your bride in 1 week. Dead, but came back. You got a quick testimony just to let the people know how unconditional God's love is. Come on, let's step back here, man. I want people to see a miracle. Step back with me. I want everybody to see a miracle. And I want to thank God that I'm speaking to you and looking at you and not doing your funeral. Thank you, Lord. No, I said thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You showed me your Bible when you woke up finally, and the first words on there, what were they? There was something. Well, tell us about it real quick.
Well, I went down to Tijuana to see my kids on 4th of July and got into the wrong stuff and asked to do some drugs. And I had a friend get me some drugs, and I did it. 20 minutes later, I wake up in the hospital. Yeah. This was on Friday. I woke up on Sunday. My wife, she'd been through a lot in those days, and I don't know what happened. I blacked out. And this gave me a lesson in life that life is very serious, and it could be taken from you so quickly.
God.
You're not promised tomorrow.
My God.
And I thank God so much.
Yeah.
Since I went through this tragedy.
My God.
But the devil's a liar. He tried to get me. And I'm not going to let that happen again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that happen again.
Yeah.
I let down my family. My family was there. You know, I lied to them. And it wasn't real. But God talked to me and let me know to let everything down on the table. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but it's about getting through it the right way. And thank you, Jesus, I got through it the right way. Today is my birthday, and I thank God that God let me get to this next birthday. And I thank all you guys for your praises and prayers. And love you guys.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Took courage to confess your fault, the Bible says, one to another, that you may be healed. Father, we just receive. Would you receive with me right now his unconditional love? You may not feel loved. You may not feel worthy. You may not feel like you deserve it. None of us do. Just receive it this morning. Just receive it. Holy Spirit, thank you. Close this service today. Thank you for your healing earlier in the service. Thank you for the miracles that you've already done now. Father, the greatest miracle is the healing of the soul. You said that you prayed for us. Paul prayed that we would, our eyes would be opened and we would be turned from darkness to light and we'd be turned from the power of Satan to God for the purpose that our sins may be forgiven. We dare not leave this world with our sins unforgiven. He paid the price so we could be forgiven. He took a death that was our death. so we could live for eternity, eternal life. What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all that is within you. Love him the way he deserves to be loved for what he has done. Love him like you understand the great price he paid. Love him for making a way for you to have a home in heaven. Love him with all your mind, soul, strength, and spirit, everything within you. Prove it by the way you live. Father, we thank you right now. Forgive us where we have put other things first. We are continually being compromised. We are continually being challenged, if not by ourselves, by others, to put you second, to compromise our witness. Forgive us. Forgive us all. Help us to prove by the way we live, the way we serve you, the way we give, with our time, our talents, and our treasure, to show that you are first in everything, in our time, in our talent, in our treasury. As we put you first, you said you would add it all to us. We put a claim on that promise now. As we have come this day to put you first, to give you the first, the tithe of the time, the first time of this week to be in this house. Father, I thank you will bless the other 6 days and the rest of this day. Help us to put you first in every area of our life, our relationships, our money, our time. Father, help us to prove by the way we live that we have repented. You said, prove it. You're a prove me God. Show me God. Show me you have repented. Show me you've changed your mind. Show me that I'm first. Show me that you honor me above everyone else. Show me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You will know my love. You will experience my love that will lift you out of the angry waves. Will protect you. We'll see you through. My love is waiting for you. Receive it. And love me because I first loved you. I love you, says the Lord. Would you love me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Turn to somebody and tell them and mean it. Tell them, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love somebody. Amen. Little music there. Yeah. Yeah, little music. Hallelujah. I love you.